Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, Cookunity delivers. Made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. Get ready to eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Get what you're craving. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter crave before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's cookunity.com/crave.
Welcome to 100% Canucks. John Shannon here, quickly joined by Landon Ferraro and Tyson Berry. It's the end of October, Halloween. Tricks or treats? Well, I'll tell you what, the Canucks had another treat last night in St. Louis, a 4-3 shootout victory against the Blues, and they are now 6-6. We take a look at the club as they continue this road trip against the Wild and the Predators, and then talk about what this team is with 6 wins and 6 losses. That's with Landon Ferraro and Tyson Berry on 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. Landon Ferraro, Tyson Berry, John Shannon. Okay, boys, I, for one, would not have predicted that the leading goal scorer for the Vancouver Canucks at this point in the season would ever be Kiefer. To me, that's one of those ones where you say, oh my goodness gracious, what is happening? And yet, Landon, he has been remarkable as he was against the Blues.
He has. I mean, his engine just doesn't stop. And I mean, me and Tyson were talking about it the other night while we were watching the game, of just like the pure enjoyment he gets out of scoring and how hard he's going right now. And the best part is, like, I don't feel, maybe his first one yesterday, but like none of them are lucky goals. It's hard work. It's getting to the net. I mean, Tyson's his number one fan. Apparently.
Oh yeah. I'm very smitten over here right now. and I couldn't disagree more. He goes to the net. He's going to score all different types of ways. Am I going to sit here and say he'll be leading the team in points at the end of the year? Probably not.
I'll tell you what, he better not be.
Exactly. But I love the guy. I love the way he plays. The energy. You talk to anybody in that room, they're going to tell you they love him. He's just a great guy who plays with his heart on his sleeve. And he's showing he's got a lot of skill and he's got a great shot. And he's putting it all together right now. And it's I'm super stoked for him.
Sustainable. And honestly, that was my point though, was that like none of them are lucky goals. I was saying maybe the first one yesterday because it was a bounce off his arm, but like it's him getting to the front of the net, it's him ripping that snapshot that he gets off so well. Like it's all goals that you can see him continuing to score as the year goes on.
Sustainable, maybe not at this pace, but he's going to play this exact way all year.
Yeah,
so the way he's playing is sustainable. I don't know what his shooting percentages are at. That might, obviously come back down to earth. But he's going to get breakaways. You know, that's how he plays. He's going to get goals going to the net, crashing the net. You know, we see him, he's getting some power play time. I don't know. I think I'm calling a breakout. I called it before. I said he was my favorite player in the league. I'm calling a breakout season out of Sherwood, and here we are. No, Landon, hey, I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm all for it, too. I'm not against you by any means. He's fun to watch, man.
So did you have some time with him in Nashville?
I did, yeah. Yeah, we spent some time together in Nashville. We were both getting healthy scratched and got to know each other quite well. We had a lot of lunches, a lot of dinners, a lot of bag skates. He's a great guy. And
just you two just splitting the atom, eh?
Oh yeah. He really broke it down. But yeah, I didn't understand when they let him go. I didn't understand why they didn't play him, and I didn't understand why they weren't playing me either. So maybe I was biased.
But seriously, what would that conversation be like at lunch? I mean, are you trying to pat each other on the back? Are you trying to console each other? What are you doing?
No, I think at that point, you know, I was 13 years into my career, and you know, it depended on where the conversation was happening. If it was, you know, if we got healthy scratched in LA, we were down on the beach, toes in the sand. Like we were keeping it light. I was kind of, he's the kind of guy who can get pretty worked up, and you know, he's obviously very passionate about hockey, and you know, I was kind of the guy to let him know the sky wasn't falling. So we had a good dynamic, but just super stoked for him. And like back to the beginning, sustainable. He's going to play this exact way all year.
Okay.
He'll lead the game in hits and shots.
So here's, it's easier to list the guys not playing than it is to list the guys playing. Landon, how do they get through this? And more importantly, what does a victory like that in St. Louis do for this club?
It's massive. I mean, they're already missing eight guys, and Besser goes down 33 seconds into the first shift. Like, that's another, and that's the other crazy part about these injuries. Like, it's not to fringe guys on the roster. It is like very key contributors and guys that Canucks coming into the season, knowing that they didn't have, you know, the most dynamic scoring forward group. Well, they've just lost a number of players in their top six. Guys are having to jump up, but it's exactly what happened last night. You know, was I going to bet that Sherwood was going to get a hat trick up all by himself and single-handedly get this Canucks team into a position to grab a point and then get the second one? Probably not, but it's guys stepping up. And I mean, Tyson, you've been on like in rooms with a ton of guys that, you know, like world-class players. And when they go out, it's almost easier sometimes to just go play the simple game. Not saying you want those guys out by any means.
You definitely don't, but there is, your team's going to get tested throughout the year. Not everyone's healthy all the time. It's a great sign that they're, you know, able to get it done with these guys down. And it gives, you know, the guys who, you know, don't always get the looks, it gives them a chance to get extra touches, play more minutes, and, you know, just get some trust from the coaching staff that otherwise might not happen. So you don't want to see these guys out, but there's some growth that can come from it within, you know, the role players and the younger guys. And I think it'll benefit long-term as long as these guys come back healthy and, you know, step in and, you know, like you mentioned, I don't think that at the beginning of the year, everyone was, you know, terrified of their forward group. You know, I think they're going to struggle to score goals. So if you can get a diamond in the rough, someone who comes in who maybe wasn't on your radar, like Kiefer Sherwood, who's going to step up and be a, you know, I don't want to put a number on it, 30 plus goal scorer, that's a win. And now you just need your other guys who are supposed to come back, get healthy and do what they're supposed to do.
And I think that's where it's so big too, that with guys stepping up, you know, with the number of forwards out and then Besser dropping in the first shift yesterday, Evander Kane plays just over 19 minutes last night. And it was, other than the Edmonton game where, you know, a bit of emotions trying to make sure they get a win against his former team, he's had a pretty slow start to the year. And last night, like, he got in on the forecheck. He caused a turnover on Sherwood's first goal. He caused another turnover before his goal that ended up getting disallowed. Like, he was moving. He was starting to make some plays. So it forces some guys to get moving a little bit quicker than maybe they would have if everyone was in the lineup.
Yeah.
You think You think Kane's off to a slow start? Yeah, I've seen him a lot in Edmonton. This is Kane. This is Evander Kane. He's not that fast, but when he gets focused, he can be a difference maker. He really can.
Yeah. The thing with Kaner is, you want him for the playoffs. You just got to get him to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. and you got to keep him healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So.
But that's the tough part, right? Like, yeah, you want him for the playoffs, but with how everything is shaken out early in this season, they can't wait another 70 games for him to figure. Like, they need him to be like he was last night. John, I don't disagree that he's not the fleetest of foot or anything, but early in this season, just watching him try and move, and the biggest thing for me is watching him trying to get a shot off. Mm-hmm. Like, how long he's got a good release. And right now, in the past few games, like him trying to get a shot off, a lot of them are getting deflected or blocked because it's taking him a while to get it off, like to get his body in position to shoot. And last night, he just seemed that, half step a little quicker, but just more determined to get in and make himself part of the game.
Now, what about some of the other forwards? Where did you see Jake DeBrusk game so far?
I mean, it was a nice flick in overtime.
Yeah, but the
tough part with Jake is, like, he is rather streaky. Yep. And you're waiting for him to catch fire because when he does, you generally know four or five goals are following it in pretty short order behind.
Yeah, you're going to want the streak here coming soon.
Yeah, you're going to need that one to show up at the door.
You're clipping just under a half a point a game. You go streak and you can get, two or three in one night. Next thing you know, nobody's talking about it anymore. But that's the funny thing about this, like the beginning of the year, right, is you get through 10 games, you get through 15 games. And if you have a cold start, people start to talk and then, it starts to weigh on you. Next thing you know, you go five more without something and then it becomes a thing. So it's important to, you don't want to you want to get streaking earlier than later for sure.
Well, just so tough at the beginning of the year.
How difficult is it to start a season? I mean, when you think about a lot of these guys played maybe two exhibition games, you've already had one good long road trip, but how difficult is October? Because it looks like to me, not just the Canucks, but the NHL is the mushy middle is bigger than ever. There's when you look at the standings, there's 15 teams within 4 points of each other because everybody's beaten up on everybody.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule right now. It is tough to jump right into it. My second last year in Nashville, I played two exhibition games and I played back to back exhibition games when the season started. And you're like, okay, I guess we're going. It can wear on you. It's 0 to 100 quick, and then you get a bunch. I love this time of year. I think the Halloween party, the team Halloween party, is where you get to know everybody. It's my favorite party. You get all the new guys. Everyone gets into one a little bit. You get to see the different personalities and kind of bond for the first time. You get the road trip and stuff, but you get the early road trips. But I think that Halloween party is kind of where everyone's colors come out and you kind of get to see who the new guys are and all that. So I think it's a good opportunity for the guys to come together as a team.
Okay. I want to jump on that. What was your best costume ever?
Oh man. I have the thing. I like to dress up in like massive kind of mascot costumes because my dance moves look sicker in them.
So, oh, I'm sure.
I'm going as the Cookie Monster this year. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah, I've been all over the map with my costumes. But
and who, one of your teammates, anybody over the years, no matter where you played, jumped out as one of the great costumes?
Oh, let me circle back. I'll have to.
Like, did McKinnon ever come in as somebody that there's no way that Nate McKinnon was going to do that? And by the way, isn't it driven by your wife anyway?
It's mostly, it is. But it's funny when the single guys all get together and do something. We had like Andrew Ghetto, Barbario, and Reto Berra dressed up as like soccer players one year, but they were just the most outrageous outfit. They were just juggling the ball the whole time. It was pretty funny.
What about you, Landon?
I mean, I loved the year me and my wife did like the 70s just because I got to put on like a massive wig and like had some hair for the night. I'm a big fan. He says like he likes doing like the big mascot ones. My rule for my wife, I don't care what you put me in, I want pockets. Like, I just want like a pair of pants. I need to be able to put my stuff somewhere. Past that, it could be anything.
That's pretty, yeah, so those aren't terrible guidelines.
You can I like pockets. She's probably going to be wearing a dress or something. Now I'm carrying her stuff. I don't want to be like, I don't have the biggest hands anyway. I need some help.
And is the Halloween party the most important party of the year, more than Christmas and more than any other time, other than winning a cup party?
It's the welcome party for like, you know, it's always, if anything's going to happen, it usually happens at the Halloween party.
And it's always the guy you least expect too.
Yeah, there's always something goes down at the Halloween party, and then, you know, it's good for everyone comes in a little hungover. It's good for a laugh. And yeah, just kind of a nice, you settle in, you're past that like point of training camp and, you know, am I going to make the team? You know, you're 10 games in, the rookies are staying. You kind of settle into like, okay, this is our group.
And when you say that, when you say the group stuff, it also means families too. That's the important.
Yeah. All the girls are getting to know each other, and it's just, this is your, you know, your tribe for the year. So,
was some of my favorite parts of the Halloween party too. Like that first one of the year was, cause it's for, you know, if you're new on the team, it's kind of the first time you're meeting all the other wives and girlfriends and stuff. And just seeing the one guy that's starting to have a little too much fun and which girl's the first one to try and rein it back in and see that go. That's always really amusing.
Oh yeah.
For some reason I get the sense that you guys just like to make fun of each other. That's part of it.
It's pretty relentless. Yeah. That's the best part. You can't let anybody get away with anything.
All right, let's look at some of the guys that have come in to this Canuck lineup in the short term. Tommy Velander, what do you think of Velander so far?
I loved his confidence. I think just watching, even getting some power play time last night, ragging the puck, had a good shot there from the blue. I think he's, for a kid who's just starting, I think he's looked confident and he's making his reads and no issues with his game. I think it's great. You can plug him in when someone goes down.
Yeah. I mean, he plays over like just over 19 minutes in a game that, you know, you're shorthanded, you know, or you're thinking you're probably not going to get a ton of goals. Like you need to be good defensively, but you got to have the confidence to make plays still. He's such a good skater. Like he's fun to watch. He's smooth. So it's another really solid game. He's one of those guys, like the young kids that come up that are, you know, really good players. And for a lot of young guys, it's you tell them something, they'll listen, they go out, they kind of make the same mistake again. Like they're just learning. But Velander's one of those guys that, you know, and they've talked about it of, you know, we'll give him some direction and he changes at the next shift. Like he can process the information fast, which is good when you're in and playing good minutes, especially as a young D.
It's so different. You got to be coachable. If you want to stick around, you got to be coachable. I was, I had some run-ins with that early. I was trying to trust my reads and a couple bad pinches, two-on-ones. They couldn't figure it out, but being coachable is a huge part of it.
And would having, now he wouldn't be affected by this, but having a brand new coaching staff, how much of an impact has that been, do you think, with this group as a whole?
Ooh, I mean, yeah, I think having, you know, a first-time head coach, everyone's trying to figure out how they're going to run the ship, you know, like where they're going to fit in. I think it probably, honestly, like, as a young guy, you know, this is just an opinion. As a young guy coming in, it's probably a little more comforting, you know, than having a 20-year bench boss sitting there who's grizzled and, you know, kind of stuck in his ways. I think it's probably, you'd have to ask them, but you almost feel like you're in it together you know, he's a rookie head coach. I'm a rookie player. There's something, you know, there's some, hey, we're figuring this out together kind of thing going on. So that would just be a, you know, from a overview, what I would assume would be a little comforting, but could be completely wrong. Footer could be coming down hard on him. I have no idea.
No, I mean, watching him interact with the guys and just, you know, even with the media when he's talking, I don't see him doing that. Like, I don't think you're far off by any means. The tough part is having a whole new coaching staff come in, getting your new team, and then half of that team not being in the lineup. Yeah. Like, that's the tricky part right now, is like, you're at plug and play time. That usually happens, you know, in the second half of the year. At some point you run into a bit of injury problem, but, you know, fresh in 10 games into a season and really having to move guys around. You have Mackenzie McEachern come get called up from Abbotsford. Like, they're quickly, you know, there's more guys down there, but you're quickly running into guys that you're, you know, planning on having down for a year or two to grow their game and being forced into it. You know, McEachern's played in the league before. He was drafted by St. Louis. But at the same time, it's been quite a while since he's played a game. And so it's really just trying to, you know, I hate the line of next man up, because it just gets used so much, but like it really is. It's guys coming in that are extremely hungry for the chance that they're getting, and they're young and excited.
And they have a good team down there. So they're playing, you know, they're obviously,
they're off to a tough start this year.
No, though. I know, but they know what they were on a good team.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But winning in Abbotsford's a bonus.
Oh yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you're not sitting here. You're not sitting here making sure that the Abbotsford Canucks are playoff bound at the expense of the Vancouver Canucks.
No, not at all. But you do want the team to be doing decent, one, because it's good for the guys' development. But as guys start to get healthy and you're having to send guys back, as a former bubble guy, there's nothing worse than being in the NHL, being called into an office saying, you know what, like, you're going on waivers, you're getting sent down, and you look at the team in the American League and you're like, they haven't won a game in five. And like, it's just like one hit after another. Oh, yeah. You want to
going down, stepping right into a bag skate. And
oh, just the worst. Yeah. And then you got to make sure that you're out in front, so you're not the guy that's moping when you're going down. Like, it's mentally exhausting.
That's a whole different game within the game.
I'm going to be the hard ass here. You guys could have real jobs.
Yeah. Well, look at us now.
Well, I was about to say, I'm like, we're on a call with you at 9:30 in the morning. This feels like a pretty real job at the moment.
Are you kidding me? I had to push my sauna back a half hour.
Life is rough on the island. That's all I know.
Yeah, we're supposed to get rained on over here. I got a Halloween day getting rained on. Not ideal.
Got to loosen up before you chase the kids around the neighborhood, eh? Yep.
So two more games on this trip, Minnesota and Nashville. What does the momentum of a game like what happened in St. Louis, even though, you know, they were up, they blew the lead, they won in the shootout?
Well, let's touch on Braden Schenn's shootout move first.
No, let's not. No, we're trying to be nice to people. This is supposed to be a cup half full.
That was just an absolutely pathetic attempt. He was texting me. I was texting him this morning. He goes, have a group chat going. He goes, you guys catch my shootout move? He's like, am I allowed to chase that down, or what do you do there?
I was about to say, I'm like, you could see it in his eyes for that split second. He's like, do I chase after it? No, it's too far gone.
Yeah. The problem is that the moment he catches it, if he moves it back towards the middle of the ice, he moves it backwards, the play's dead, right?
Oh, yeah. That was just, I just wanted to touch on that. I hope this clip gets a little virality so he can.
Okay, wait. And your worst shootout move, Tyson, was?
Oh, never had a bad one.
When you're on the bench, how does it work on the bench when you get past, because everybody knows who the first three shooters are for the most part. At what point do you start to lobby?
Well, I think there's a couple different types of guys, those who lobby and those who try to hide. I think I was good early in my career. My first one, I put King Henrik in the corner, backhand shelf. And then I was 1-for-1 in my career. And I finished my career, I think, 1-for-8. So I went on a bit of a cold streak. But usually around like as an offensive defenseman, you get past, you know, the fourth shooter, it starts to become a possibility.
Start getting a little bit taller.
Yeah. Well, I like doing it.
And you would relish the opportunity?
I did. Yeah. I liked it. It's something though that I didn't work on in practice. You know, it's not really like all the forwards are down at their end doing their thing and we're down at our end just doing point shots, which is painful, but I'd way rather be down there. Half my career, I just wondered, I'm like, why did I pick D? This is brutal. Well,
there were actually nights when I watched you play for the Avs that, you know, and we've talked about this before, that you were up the ice, you and Sam or Gerard were up the ice before the forward. So you were playing forward anyway.
Yeah, it was a blast. That's the only way to play D and have fun. Otherwise, you're just soaking biscuits the whole time and kicking.
See, like, and I've said this before, but you and me, we got it backwards. It worked out for you. I'm happy for you. But we had it backwards. You should have been the forward. I should have been the D. I was already sitting there just eating shots anyway and throwing it off the glass.
It's the world's best F3.
Yeah. Everyone would always want, like, you know, if you could switch with one player and they'd always say the star or whatever. I'm like, I just want to be the guy that makes, like, two sheets a year blocking shots and throwing it off the glass. Like that, it would be a dream.
If we ever have different aspirations.
Well, and now you're together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So back, what do we have? We're talking about the momentum, Minnesota, Nashville coming up.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
win. Yeah, I think that's guts you win. I think, you know, if Kiefer Sherwood can get another Hattie.
He's going to be motivated in Nashville, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that. He'll be flying in Nashville, too. I could see him, like, driving by and, you know, he'll be looking for Trotsky to yell at him or something.
That's why Barry's way up top these days. So, Minnesota's winnable for sure. The Wild are not off to a great start. Nashville's struggling, too. They lost to Philadelphia last night, even though they outplayed them in so many ways.
Yeah.
But... So this team at 6-6, with all the injuries at 6-6, Landon, is this exceeding? Is this what was expected? Is this a disappointment? And I'm not talking about being a fan. I'm talking about being analytical about what this team is right now. 6-6, in my opinion, is not a bad thing.
I think you got to be pretty happy with that. Like, it was already... Again, the beginning of the season, like you're trying to figure out what this team's going to be. And you could see where if certain things went one way, you could see how there could be a pretty good team. But you could also see it the other way as well of if injuries and all these things kick up, like you could see where the year gets away from you pretty quick. That was a really big win for them in St. Louis. And when you have a bunch of guys out, it's already such a massive piece of being on a team that can win is just having confidence. And I think that one bought them some last night. I think it showed, especially the younger guys on the team of, like, if you work and you do the right things, you're committed and reset for every shift and, like, all of those, you have a chance to win. You have two very good goalies. Lankinen played pretty well last night. I'm sure he would have liked the first one back to beat him 5-0, but at the same time, he made the saves at the timely time and was able to hold them in there. But it just shows that it doesn't matter who's in, who's out.
Yeah, you can get beat. Over the long term, it's going to matter who's in.
Oh, for sure. But in this three-game set here.
If you play to your system and you play hard and you're willing to block the shots and go to the net, you can get wins in this league. You're going to need there's a reason you're paying guys so much. You're going to need them over the long run, but, for those little spurts, you know, you get a 3 games, 5 games, 7 games, whatever it is without these guys, you can win some games.
Especially early in the season when other teams are still trying to figure out what they have going on.
It could be the Flames right now. Yeah. I think 6-6 is, you know, they'll take that. They're right in the muck of it, and you know, you hang around, win one, lose one, win one. You know, you're in it. There's nothing worse than being out of it. So if you can just, you know, string a few together, or you know, not lose a few in a row, you're right in it. And I think it's a fun place to be.
I was trying to be positive and cup half full, but I, you know, at this point, the last conversation has to be about. What do you think Brock Besser was really thinking? Seriously.
When he took that shot?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking he's probably thinking, what a brutal shot. I mean, I've done that so many times as a D-man. I feel bad. I don't want to rag on him, but like, that wasn't a great shot. I don't even, even if it gets by him, where is it going? Into the corner?
Well, it's just the fact that he turns right into it, has no idea it's coming. Like, yeah. I'm sure as he's sliding the 15 feet he slid on the ice, he's wondering, I know he's thinking how much this hurts right now, but it's also, what just happened? Where did that come from?
Well, if it's different, if you're down by the net and you're trying to get a tip on it, like, you're aware you're in the puke zone.
Yeah. Off, what was that? The puke zone?
Yeah, the puke zone. You don't want to be like... When you're down in front of the net as a forward or a D-man, you're trying to box out and your back gets turned and there's a chance you're going to take a slapper off the back of the leg or in the ribs, you know, sure. You can't control it, but you're in the puke zone. It's going to happen. When you're just floating around up top, there's like, if I'm him, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'm going to open up, get an F through, like, you know, he'll slip it to me and I can try, like, I'm not expecting a bomb. So it's unfortunate.
You know, I make light of you guys not having real jobs when you played, but the one thing I would say is that my only reaction was is that after signing that big deal with this team, he's not getting paid enough.
I had a couple injuries over the year, but was always well compensated.
Did you ever play with a guy that didn't wear a cup?
Yeah, I think I did. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but you see some odd things over the career where
it's yeah. Wild though. Like, of all things, I don't understand. I've played with a few of them and I don't know how I could ever get myself to go on the ice.
Did he take it in the junk? I didn't dissect the clip.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right in the bag. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the puke zone for me. So
yeah, I saw a stat unrelated to hockey, but before this year it was like, I thought it was one of the best stats I'd ever seen tracked. It was the Mariners had more exploded testicles than playoff appearances in their franchise history. It was like 5 exploded testicles.
What a way to go into the weekend.
Yeah.
with a stat like that.
Yeah.
Well, boys, I'll tell you what, the Canucks are off to St. Paul and then over to Nashville, and they're going to go. You know, and Tyson's going to give them a couple of haunts to go to on Sunday night because there's no baseball to watch and maybe a little Sunday night football. But there's a few places, huh? Nashville.
Yeah, we can find something for them.
You wouldn't be on Broadway's too touristy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, pick your poison. Some guys like it. So, you know, you could find a couple more low-key haunts, but... you know, whatever floats your boat.
Tell you what, the place I loved in Nashville, I'm going to sound like an old guy, which I am, is Jeff Ruby's down by the river.
It's a fantastic restaurant.
And then not only the restaurant, but once you have your meal and there's entertainment, and then the waiter says, by the way, you guys are having a good time. Don't leave because there's another band coming in after. And then halfway through the second band, he says, by the way, you're having a really good time. Don't leave. There's another band coming. And so like at 2 in the morning, the music, the wine was good and the music was spectacular in Nashville. Oh, my goodness.
Signed a few extensions with Jeff Ruby's.
I wish I played. That would have been the best part about it. Thank you, boys.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep. We'll see you later.
Landon and Tyson. And John on 100% Canucks.
Shoot, score, win, repeat. On the ice and online. Keep the energy going with NHL Game Zone, the ultimate hockey hub for free-to-play games, prizes, and non-stop competition. Take your best shot with games like NHL Lines, Bingo, Bracket Challenge, and more. Challenge yourself and battle your friends and hockey fans worldwide. Play games for chances to win awesome NHL prizes. NHL Game Zone, your one stop for hockey free-to-play gaming. Play today at nhl.com/gamezone. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks to Tyson. Thanks to Landon. I'm not sure the world was ready for a Tyson statistic, but it it does make some sense. This team is a fascinating team to look at right now when you do consider all the injuries and who is out of the lineup and how much the character of so many of the players is now coming through. Even the younger guys, the first-year players, and I call the kids that were in Abbotsford last year and have had a cup of tea in the NHL, first-year players, guys that have now become regulars. It's going to be fascinating to watch how this team continues to grow. I do think that they have been a surprise, and I do think that the team is pointed in the right direction with this coaching staff. For Landon and Tyson, I'm John Shannon. Thanks for listening or watching this edition of 100% Canucks.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.